Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
He's the gaming guy. He knows everything before even it knows that it's going to be released. What's happening, Alessandro?
How are you doing, Ari?
Very, very good. You always are my favorite guy because you've got the most crystal clear Skype line in the history of Skype lines. It's like you're sitting in the studio with me. I love it.
I know. You've got to be professional, man.
Like a boss. Tell that to your friend Greenway. His Skype line is so dodgy, bro. So dodgy. You need to talk to your friend. All right. I want to kick it off with the latest in the world of Pokemon Go. What's up? There's calculators. There's PokeVision. I was speaking to Flax just now and Relax It's Flax about the Pokemon sex toys. I don't know if that's included
yet.
Yes, but
I actually saw that, actually.
What's going on, dude?
So, leaving those aside for now, a ton of people are still playing Pokemon Go, which I think is fairly obvious, judging by all the people you see walking around staring at their phones incessantly and swiping upwards to throw Pokeballs. But so there's just in the past few weeks, there have been a lot of really cool tools that have been released to try and supplement Pokemon Go and kind of help people who are, you know, running into issues where they can't find specific Pokemon that they want or aren't sure whether they should evolve certain ones at certain times. So basically, there are these two tools that I found really useful over the past week. The first one's called PokeVision. It's just a website, pokevision.com, that you can log on to using a browser. And what it does is it takes your location, or you can enter an address, and it uses the game's API and searches for Pokemon around the location or address you've given it. So basically, if I'm at like Wurz and I say, cool, I'm at Wurz, then I can head onto the website, I type in Wurz, and it shows me what Pokemon are around me, and more importantly, how long they're going to be around me for. Because, you know, each Pokemon pops up for only a certain amount of time before it kind of disappears, and then it randomly chooses another one to put in its place. So it's really useful, especially when, you know, you're in-game and the game says that a certain type of Pokemon's nearby you and you actually have no idea in which direction to walk to go and find it. It is a little depressing, though, because if you type in something like New York or Santa Monica in the States, you realize how good they have it there in terms of, like, Pokemon population. Like, the streets are littered with them, whereas here it's a bit more spread out, a little more sparse. So, but other than that, I mean, if you're an avid Pokemon Go player, it's a website you should definitely check out because it has helped me during the week. Another one to check out is called – it's called the Pogo Toolkit. It's also a website. It's one where you can just throw in the name of a Pokemon that you're ready to evolve, and you throw in the combat points that it has. So each Pokemon has a thing called CP, which is like combat points, which comes into play when you're trying to take over gyms. It's like how powerful your Pokemon is. And when you evolve a Pokemon, it uses that value and kind of like multiplies it by a certain factor, you know, for the new, more powerful one that you're trying to evolve into. So this calculator kind of gives you a range. You know, a range within that your evolution will kind of fall within, so you kind of know how strong your Pokemon is going to be, whether it's worth evolving and wasting a lot of resources to evolve this Pokemon, or whether you should wait to capture a stronger one and then evolve that one. So it's pretty handy. It's pretty standard as well. But if you're huge into like gym fights and you're big into evolving your Pokemon, it's definitely something you should check out. So yeah, if you're still playing Pokemon Go, hit both of those sites up. They're pretty useful, and I'm sure a lot more are going to be popping up as the craze continues, I guess.
Yeah, it takes the fun out of it a little bit, though, to get so over-analytical, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've used both of them pretty briefly, especially when, you know, the game does a really poor job of telling you how far away certain Pokemon are, and it's especially frustrating when you see one on your radar that you haven't caught yet, so it's like the little silhouette, and you kind of have to guess which one it is, and you have no idea, you know, whether you should walk forward, backwards, you know, to try and find it. So in those circumstances, it's kind of useful. But I would, you know, I'd advise against using these two tools too much, and especially against a lot of people found a way to kind of trick the game into thinking that they're in, like, New York or somewhere in the States or somewhere in Europe where it's a bit more populated. And that just kind of takes the fun out of everything and kind of breaks the game a little bit for everyone playing, you know, legally here. So, yeah, play the game as you want, but try to depend on these like third-party tools a little less if you want to have fun.
All right, let's shift gears, but keep it in the Nintendo sphere. Obviously, they're aligned to Pokemon, but they've also got some new rumors of their own to address outside of just what's happening with Pikachu and something to do with cartridges. Gaming cartridges are going to make a comeback. What's going on?
Yeah, so Nintendo has been working on their new console for a long time now. It's It's got the project codename of NX. That's like the only thing people know about it so far. And up until this week, you know, people kind of had vague ideas of what Nintendo was trying to go for. The console's coming out in March of next year, and they still haven't officially revealed it yet. So, you know, a lot of speculation flies around constantly about, you know, what they're trying to do with this console, how are they going to make it quirky, because Nintendo isn't in the market to make standard consoles like the Xbox and the PlayStation. They make consoles with, you know, with quirks, with hooks. They experimented a lot with, like, motion control and second screens with their Wii consoles. So, you know, everyone is kind of, like, wondering what NX means and what it means for the future of Nintendo. And according to a report that came out this week, it could mean that they're going completely portable gaming. So with their last console, the Wii U, which was a really – it wasn't a well-received console, even though it had really great ideas, I think. What it was a standard console at home that had a screen on your controller so that if someone wanted to watch TV, you could beam the game basically onto your controller and carry on playing and someone could watch TV. So it was like, it was semi-portable, but you still had to be sitting down on a couch in a room where the console was. So the NX, according to this report, is doing the complete reverse of that. It's going to be apparently a fully portable console like the 3DS or Sony's PlayStation Vita that you'll be able to hook into your TV using a dock when you get home. So like something you can throw in your bag, play at varsity, play when you're in Uber or when you're at work, and when you get home and you want to play on a bigger TV with standard controllers. You just plug it into the dock, the game's on the TV, and apparently you can detach the controllers from the portable device and use those to continue playing the game. What it does mean is that games on Nintendo's console won't be as, you know, visually stunning as they are on the PlayStation and Xbox, because that type of raw power on a portable scale is just not possible right now. But it is a very interesting concept, because it does change the way that we perceive big games, because, you know, you have your mobile games, like your smartphone games, and you have games on, like, the 3DS and the PS Vita that are, they're great games, but they are nothing like something you'd play on an Xbox or a PlayStation 4. Nintendo's NX is trying to replicate what you'd play on a standard console, except that you can take it anywhere with you. And the reason I say this is because they've already said that the new Legend of Zelda that I played at E3 a few months ago, which is a gorgeous game, it's a massive game, they've already said it's coming to NX. So they must have found a way to make these huge, you know, blockbuster titles work on a portable scale. And that's what's got me really interested in what they're cooking up. So they're apparently going to reveal the console in September. It will go on sale in March. And I think, you know, just according to the amount of detail that was in this report, I think this is a fairly solid direction, or, you know, it's a solid look into what Nintendo is planning. I highly doubt there's going to be something fundamentally different from what this report suggests. So I'm pretty sure we have a much better idea of what NX is going to be, and now we just wait until September.
Yeah, it's quite exciting, actually.
Yeah, I mean, imagine being able to take a fully, you know, have a fully portable gaming machine in your backpack that plays, you know, some of the biggest games out there, some of the games that you see on TV and that, you know, you see other people playing on TV. It's a really cool concept if they manage to pull it off.
Very, very cool. Speaking of really cool games, there was once a blue hedgehog that we were all in love with. His name was Sega, and he was just the dopest dude. And apparently, he may be coming back. What's the return of Sega?
Oh, well, Sonic, actually. Sega are the creators of Sonic. So, yeah. Sonic the little blue hedgehog. Yeah. Come on, Ari, come on.
Sonic, Sega, it seemed like the same thing. It's a blue hedgehog. Yeah. That's exactly what it is, a blue hedgehog.
It's nearly the same thing. So Sonic is one of those like gaming mascots that's just as synonymous with gaming as like Lara Croft or Mario or Crash Bandicoot. He's like, you see Sonic and you know that video games exist somewhere in that space. So Sonic unfortunately has had some pretty terrible games over the past like kind of decade. He was a huge figure in gaming back in like the late 90s, early 90s with his 2D platformers on like Atari and some of the Nintendo systems. But, you know, since then, Sega's kind of taken a bit of a dive as a games developer, and the Sonic games they've been producing have been pretty terrible. So it's quite surprising to see them announce two brand new games just over the weekend. The first one's called just Sonic, straight up Sonic Project. They don't have a game for it, so they're just going to, like, give it that working title. And it's a, you know, a fairly modernized Sonic game in the sense that it's very familiar to some of the games that I've said aren't really good. So there's certain Sonic games called like Sonic Generations, which are these 3D, completely huge platformers that, kind of keep some of the old in, but they very much different games in their own rights, just, you know, using the Sonic name to kind of gain popularity. So that's what they're going for. I don't know how they're going to make it different or how they're going to improve on what has been a very terrible decade for Sonic. But the other game that they're producing is something for the fans. It's a full-on 2D retro classic Sonic-styled game. It even looks like something that was made in the late 1990s. And it's exactly, I mean, if you had never picked up a modern Sonic game, you would never have known that they had gone in that direction. It's a, you know, it's 2D, it's old pixelated graphics, it's really, really fast, it's got, you know, a very broken up world structure. It's classic Sonic. If you played Sonic when you were as a kid and you haven't touched it since, like, this is the game that you should be looking at rather. So that's coming out apparently later this year. The other bigger Sonic project is coming out next year sometime. And I just kind of hope that they do well, because Sega used to be a powerhouse in gaming and they just really aren't. And I think they deserve a break kind of thing. I kind of wish they moved on to something new and didn't hold on to a gaming mascot that's, you know, well over 20 years old. But, you know, hey, what you going to do? If they're going to do it, then all you can hope for is that it's good.
Well, there's clearly still work to be done if I didn't know it was Sega or Sonic, so.
yeah, clearly. I mean, they need to convince you.
It's just about me, bro. all right, it's at Caption Barbosa on Twitter. What game are you playing this weekend, Alessandro?
I'm actually going to be playing a game that was released on Xbox and PC this week. It's released on Early Access, so it's not actually finished. It's just kind of like a work in progress. It's a game called We Happy Few. It's like a very weird roguelike. So roguelike in the sense that if you die, you have to restart the entire game again. But it sets in this very creepy world where people take these drugs to constantly feel happy, and they kind of rebel against anyone who is showing any signs of depression or kind of looks sad. Or so you kind of have to make your way through this world while not taking the psychedelic drug and kind of like hiding within society. It's a very strange game and a very weird game to try and describe, but it's been in development for quite some time, and it was a big game at E3. It made a very, very big, very good impression at E3 when it was shown at Microsoft's conference. So, yeah, that's out on Early Access, so anyone can buy into it if you really want to, but it's not finished. So you just need to know that, like, if you're going to be throwing down money on it right now.
All right, Paola, that there is all the latest gaming news. Alessandro Barbosa is our guy when it comes to that. It's at Caption Barbosa on Twitter. Dude, thanks so much for the hang.
No problem. I'll chat to you next week. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.